Our second reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 4, and beginning at verse 1. And this is where Jesus talks to a Samaritan woman, the woman at the well. Jacob's well, which is where this was, is one of the few places in the Middle East that you can stand and walk round and know that Jesus was there, because all the other roads have moved a bit and they're up and they're down, but the well has always been there. So it's a very important site for people to go and to visit. And we start reading at verse 1. We can start at verse 4. Now Jesus had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." And so the woman goes off into the town, and we pick up the story at verse 39. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to this woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." May God give us insight into his word. And we're concentrating on the fact that Jesus went and met the woman. Living water is the spirit that he will give her and give to all his followers. But firstly, for a Jew to go through Samaria was not expected. We have other occasions when the disciples object that Jesus is going through Samaria, because it was quite physically dangerous for a Jew to do that. But you can see that Jesus is clearing the way to meet just this one woman at the well. He sent the disciples off to get food. As Adrian Plass says, do you really need 12 men to get the groceries? But he's got rid of them so he can have a one-to-one with the woman. He's at a time when there aren't lots of people around the well. Wasn't a normal time to choose to draw water. And the woman came because of her reputation, and she was avoiding everybody else. So he's cleared the way, and he's sought her out. And he speaks to her, which is amazing for a Jew to speak to a woman. We read this in the Bible study some weeks ago. And this is a rabbinic teaching, and it shows the status of women in Jewish belief at that time. God did not form woman out of the head, lest she should become proud, nor out of the eye, lest she should lust, nor out of the ear, lest she should be curious, nor out of the mouth, lest she should be talkative, nor out of the heart, lest she should be jealous, nor out of the hand, lest she should be covetous, nor out of the foot, lest she should be a wandering busybody, but out of a rib, which was always covered. Therefore, modesty should be her primary quality. Are you going to be sharing lunch today or not? But that's what they thought about women. And so women were very much kept in this, in the house, look after the children, fetch the water sort of thing. But here Jesus has sought this woman out. We don't know whether she was seeking. She obviously has some idea that a Messiah is coming. She's obviously done some observance. And perhaps Jesus knows that. But there's no indication that she's really seeking God. But here Jesus seeks her out and actually speaks to her. And as he speaks to her, he asks quite simply for water. And that in itself was a bombshell, because Jews were forbidden to share any kind of feeding implement or vessel with Samaritans or non-Jews. So Jesus is making himself unclean, and he's breaking the taboo that they would share things. He goes on, of course, to share with the other Samaritans as well. And he asks for water, that thing which is central to her life. We're very spoilt that we can turn the tap on and we expect water to be there. Hot or cold. I can remember that people didn't have hot water in their houses when I was a child. When I went to the Middle East, we had a woman whose sole job was to make sure that we had drinking water all day, because most of the water wasn't fit to use. And we had a missionary staying with us, and she said, I really can't cope with washing up in drinking water. it's not right. We're very spoiled in this country. And water, of course, is essential for life. Nothing grows without it. People don't flourish without it. We're always being told we must drink more. And something so simple is given this special meaning, that it's not just a physical thing. It's going to be spiritual sustenance that you get as well. And as Jesus meets her where she is, drawing water, as he talks to her, he shows that he knows her through and through. He knows all her husbands. He knows the one she's with at the moment. And she's astounded that anyone could know that. There's no sort of iNewspaper with it in at the bottom or anything like that. no gossip that's passed on to him, and nobody would talk to him anyway because he was Jewish and they were Samaritans. But he shows that he's meeting her where she is, and there's no condemnation. He does say, well, it's not a husband at the moment, but that's not a condemnation. He's showing that he cares for her and that he's going to reach out to her and to help her. And this is exactly the situation that Jesus comes into for all of us. He seeks us out because he knows us through and through, and he meets us in various situations and he cares for us. And it's interesting when you're reading about Adam and Eve in the garden. Of course, once they realize that they've eaten from the tree and they know good and evil and they are ashamed of themselves, they make themselves aprons of fig leaves. Not, I think, the most durable of garments. But what happens at the end? They're cast out. But before they're cast out of the garden, God himself makes them leather tunics to wear. I do wish that some archaeologist would dig those up. Something much better than they can provide. So even when we feel that we're very far, that we can't possibly be accepted by Jesus, he's showing us that he's there loving, that he's ready to help, and he still cares in all sorts of practical ways for us, as well as giving us the strength to go forward in his name. So here we are, we stand with the woman at the well, and we reach out to take that living water that will give us sustenance and strength. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that even though we're disobedient, even though we sin, God still loves us and cares for them. We thank you for the promises we have in the Bible, that of this care and of this love. We thank you for the hope that you have brought into the world, particularly when it seems so weary and difficult. And we thank you most of all that we can see Jesus and we know that he is the provider of living water, of strength for each day, of hope for the future, of peace with God, and the knowledge that we are encompassed by his arms. Amen.